Thank you, God, for another occasion to stand in this place and preach your word. God, many times have passed over my head that I have stood in this same spot and preached to many of these same people. I thank you, O Lord, that your word is true, your word is quick and sharp and powerful, piercing, burning, doing what it does. Now I ask you that this morning, O God, you would do for us something of which we cannot do for ourselves. God, would you refresh us in the Holy Spirit, and would you anoint us, and would you light our path, and would you come, O Lord, and dwell among us that your people may rejoice in thee. Touch us, O Lord, for except you touch us, we cannot preach. If the preacher does not come, the people cannot hear. And I ask you, O God, that you will send the preacher in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Turn to 1 Kings with me. 1 Kings is a chapter that is full of activity about a prominent Old Testament figure who is still alive today. Amen. Well, you just didn't hardly catch that one. You was too busy finding the verse. An Old Testament character that is still living today. Yes, there is one. In fact, there's two Old Testament characters that have never died. In fact, the Bible said Enoch walked with God and God took him. And said he was a perfect and an upright man. Praise the Lord. Lived a life pleasing to the Lord. The other is a lot more brilliant personality of the Old Testament, maybe among the tops. His name is Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite. Not fish bite, but Tishbite. Boy, he was one of those John the Baptist kind of guys. In fact, when John the Baptist began preaching, many felt that was Elijah, because he was so resembled him in his roughness of character. He girded himself with a leather girdle, and he ate locust and wild honey, and he dwelt out of doors, you know, and people came to hear him preach. He preached around the Transjordan area, and the Bible tells us that many people came to him because he preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Well, in the Old Testament, Elijah was just that same kind of preacher. And he spoke the word of the Lord with great authority. He was a mighty man that was powerful in the spirit. He prayed prayers that God answers. He appeared before Ahab and Jezebel, and he did outstanding work. He had his moments when he ran when Jezebel was going to kill him. But the Bible said God found him in a cave. And the Bible said that God passed by and there was a big earthquake, but God wasn't in it. And there was a wind and God wasn't in it. And a fire, but God wasn't in it. But the Bible said then there was a still, small voice and God was in it. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said, and from that time forth, Elijah depended upon the mantle. The mantle was the symbol of his spiritual experience with God. The mantle was a symbol of the indwelling power of God within that great prophet. We pick up the narrative over in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. It says, and it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Well, we need to get a little bit of background here and find out what's going on. As one of my professors says, let's understand what's going on here. Well, what's going on here is we've got a contest ongoing. And Elijah has made a proposal to the prophets of Baal and to the prophets of the groves and all of those that are loyal to Jezebel. Said, let's have a contest. And said, the God that answers by fire, he will be God and he will be the one that we will serve. Amen. And so we have the narrative here as we picked it up that they've been working on this sacrifice and been working on their part of the proposal all day. And it's now noon, and the Bible said nothing has happened. Midday has passed and they prophesied until the time then of the evening sacrifice. Well, they've made this an all-day affair, and they're still trying to get their God to answer by fire, trying to get Baal. It puts some of the prayer in there, "Oh, Baal, answer by fire, oh, Baal." And the Bible said they even took knives and stones and began to pierce their flesh and wound their own body in an effort to make their God respond. I'm glad my God doesn't need anything like that to respond. I'm glad our God doesn't need that kind of provoking to get him to respond. In fact, the Bible said a simple cry out will move the hand of God. In fact, the Bible said, God said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Psalm 15:14 tells us that if we offer thanks unto God and we pay our vows unto the Most, now those things provoke him. When we are steadfast and when we are true to our testimony, and the Bible said, offer thanks to God, worship him. Be gracious. Have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Come into his presence with thankfulness and enter into his courts with praise. Offer thanks unto God. God's people ought to thank God for what they've got and who they are. God's people ought to be a gratuitous people, a people that are thankful, that live their whole life as a praise unto God. Amen. Offer thanks unto him and pay your vows. That's integrity. That means be who you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do at the time you're supposed to do it. It's called faithfulness, isn't it? Praise the Lord. That moves the hand of God. He says, be faithful, be a worshiper, and be a person of integrity, and then call upon me. That moves the hand of God. Call upon me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Didn't say any specific kind of trouble. He just said all trouble. All categories. Domestic, foreign, whatever the trouble is. Financial, marital, relationship, whatever the trouble is. Whatever's going on. He just said, in the day of trouble, call upon me. Oh, what need we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He said, call upon me. Call upon me. David said, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his trouble. Has God ever done that for you? Has God ever delivered you out of trouble? Has God ever come to your aid when there was a catastrophe looming and when it looked like disaster was just around the corner and God came to your rescue? You said, oh, God, help me. And the Bible said he shows up and he shows up to help people that call upon him in the day of trouble. Can we just say a thank you, God, today for helping us through the troubles that we've been through in this life? Call upon me in the day of trouble. Well, these people have called on their God and no answer. Nothing has happened. And they're frustrated. The Bible said they start dancing around. And Elijah said unto them, unto the people, he's chiding them and kind of sarcastically, coming near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He had just told all of those people, he said, why don't you call upon your God with a louder voice? Maybe he's a little hard of hearing, and maybe he hasn't heard you yet. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's taking a phone call or something, and he's just not answering right now, and he's got into something is going on. Maybe he went off on a trip. Who knows? Who knows? Your God may have took a vacation or something. We don't know where he is. Why don't you cry louder? He just continued to chide them for their idolatry. And finally, when they had given up, he said, it's time now to repair the altar. Repair the altar. It's time to put things back what these people have so erroneously caused here, all of this mess that's going on. He said, my Lord, we've got to repair that. We've got to fix all that. God will move and God will answer by fire, but He won't come down in a mess like that where people are so-called worshiped him and made a mess. Let's repair the altar so God will come. Woo. Let's repair the altar so God will do what we're praying and asking him to do. Hallelujah. Have you ever built an altar? He repaired an altar. In other words, at one time it was a pretty orderly looking thing. At one time it looked like it was a workable resource. But here he's come to a time now where he said, that's got to be fixed. That's got to be fixed. In other words, before Elijah said, let's get the fire down here, there's some things that's got to be fixed before we get the fire down here. He will answer, but he's not going to answer with all this stuff in disarray like this. We got to get our act together, and we've got to get this altar thing, this worship thing. We got to get this thing right. Ho! God said, in that day that you worship me with all of your heart, in that day that you seek me with all of your heart, in that day that you get so sincere that you're willing to pay the price, he said, in that day you will find me. You will find me. The day that you put your whole heart in it. You know, I think there are nations that need to rebuild some altars. I think there are some nations. The Bible said righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. The Bible tells us that I saw the lost as they were turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. You just can't forget God. You can't just go in your life and just thump your nose at God. There are reasons why altars get torn down. Did you know that? There's one of them is it gets attacked. And I want to tell you, I personally feel that Christianity, the Bible, the blood of Jesus, the virgin birth, all of the things in our epistemology, the things that we believe, are under attack right now. And I want to tell you, Satan, the Bible said, is our adversary. And I want to tell you, the one piece of furniture in your life and in your heart that he wants to do away with the most is your altar, your prayer closet, that place where you go and kneel to find the presence of God and find peace for your troubled soul and find bread for your hunger and water for your thirst, that place where you always, I love that. When Job said, when I was seeking the Lord, said, I sought for him. Said, I sought for him on my right hand, but he wasn't there. I sought for him behind me, but he hid himself from me. I sought on my left hand where he has always been. Those last ditch efforts that I've always made, where God has always been, where I've always went, it's always where it's never failed me. But when I went there this time, it wasn't the same. He has hid himself from me. But though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And my feet have not declined to walk in his path. Hey, do you have a relationship with God that you can keep on going even when you can't feel him? When you go to your prayer closet and it seems like heaven is brassed over and you can't seem to get through. Yes, we are under attack. Our prayer, our praying is under attack. Amen. And we need to realize there is an adversary that is seeking to devour the people of God, seeking to devour the Word of God, seeking to devour praying and singing spiritual songs, all of the things that we do in the name of worship. In Christianity, we've got an adversary that would like to destroy that. And the thing he wants to destroy most is your praying and your prayers. If he can just stop you from praying, if my people who are called by my name, Lord, you've heard it so many times, will humble themselves and pray. We've got to somehow call America back to the altar. Somehow we've got to get minds and hearts and people in places of influence where goodness and mercy and grace and truth can be preached and can be carried out. We need that kind of thing. And I, the only place I know is to call upon God and ask God to provide that. To provide that. It's not going to be answered by an election. It's not going to be answered by any of these political means. No, that's not the answer. That's not the answer. And people that are looking for some knight in shining armor to come and make everything, that's not going to happen, folks. In fact, that Bible I preach out of says that things shall wax worse and worse under the coming of the Lord. And this nation needs a God, amen, and that they can call upon in the day of trouble. This nation needs a God that they can say, Lord, remember how we've lived. You see, when Hezekiah got the death message from Isaiah, his pastor, Isaiah came in and said, set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. And Isaiah turned and walked out. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, the Bible said. And he began to call upon the Lord. And he said, God, remember how I have lived. Remember how I have walked uprightly before you. Remember how I have done those things that please you. Remember, O Lord, my character, my integrity. Remember how I have walked before you. And the Lord tapped Isaiah on the shoulder and said, go back. And Isaiah turned around and he walked back in and he said, Hezekiah, the Lord said for me to tell you that he's heard your prayer. He's seen your tears. And he's going to add 15 years onto your life. You see, God answers prayer. It's okay to talk to God right out of your heart. It's okay to tell him how you feel, because the Bible said he is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Can you believe it, that God is touched by the feeling, the emotion, the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, the grief, the heartache, all of those emotions, the fear, the anxiety. God is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, he not only heals broken bones, he heals broken hearts. He heals broken spirits. He heals broken people. He is a God who is an on-time God that cares about people that have needs in their lives. Here is Elijah, and he's talking to these people. He says, come around here near to me, and let's see what God will do. Elijah said unto all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The Lord wanted me to tell you, I told you one way, satanic attack can tear down altars, but there's something else that can tear down altars. You know what that is? It's called just leaving it be and leaving it alone, laying it aside and failing to use it. In other words, if you walk off and leave something wood out in the weather, it'll rot. If you've got something metal that's exposed to the weather, it'll rust. There are situations that if you leave it be and don't attend it and don't take care of it, it will deteriorate and it will rot and fall apart. Are you hearing what this preacher is saying? And that's what basically has happened in our country. We haven't just deliberately declared we're not going to pray anymore. That's not the way it goes. The way it goes is people just get busy with something else. I said just get busy with something else and fail to pray. I want to tell you, you need to know this. Prayer is hard work. Hard work. You know what the most energy depleting activity that we do here is? When the virtue flows out of me, the energy and all of that. There's so much energy that is exchanged in praying for people. There's so much physical energy. Amen. You say, well, why are there any Bible for that? Yes, when that little woman touched the border of his garment. Jesus said, who touched me? Peter said, Lord, there's a crowd all around you. There's a multitude all around where you are. Anybody could have just bumped up against you. I mean, there are people everywhere. He said, no, that wasn't just an accidental bump. That wasn't a stumble. That wasn't a shuffle of the feet. That was an intentional touch. And listen, he said, for I out of my body, I felt healing virtue flow. Are you telling me, Pastor, that the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus flows out of men that pray in the Spirit, that are anointed with the Spirit of God, that the healing virtue of God flows out to someone who is sick? Yes, that's exactly what happens. That's why Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay their hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. He said, they shall cast out devils. I want to tell you, somebody needs to walk in the authority of the Holy Ghost and bind the devil and cast the devil away and out. Come to me, Jesus said. When he repaired the altar, he said, somebody go get 4 barrels of water. Oh, Lord, Pastor, we're trying to get fire around here. My goodness, we're trying to down. You're going to make it harder than it really is. No, go get me 4 barrels of water. If you'll look at your scripture, it says, he said, do it again. And then a third time, the Bible said that a third time he said, do it again. By now, we've got 12 barrels of water poured out on this bullock. It's dripping, soppy wet. Water's pooled up, and the Bible said they dug a trench all the way around. And this prophet of God prayed a 65-word prayer. The gist of the prayer was that these people may know that thou art the only true God. Let your fire fall, and the Bible said, and then the fire of the Lord fell. And the Bible said it licked up the water that was in the trenches and consumed the sacrifice. The God who answers by fire. The God who touches us at the point of our need. The God who realizes our condition and knows, the Bible said, knows our frame. Brother, God knows so much about your problem. God knows more than you could ever understand or think or imagine. God knows. And because God knows, nothing is hidden from him with whom we have to do. And because he knows, before you ever ask, the Bible said, he knows what we have need of before we ever ask him. He took the stone and built the altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar, put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice. Do it again, and the water ran around the altar. And it came to pass about the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I've done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice. Woo! Oh, when prayer prevails, when you pray until God answers prayer. I want to tell you, Jesus, the Bible said in that great day of the feast, he stood up and he said, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. What a wonderful God our God is. People who come to God. People who came to Jesus, that little lady was just one. No man is born to be lost. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is born to be saved. For it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all. Can you say all?
All
should come to repentance. It's not the will of God that people go to hell. Hell was never intended for people to go. If you go to hell, you'll go there out of the will of God, because it's not the will of God that any should perish. Somebody say amen. That's good preaching. Amen. No man is consigned to be lost. No person is born to go to hell. All men are born to be saved, and all people who come to the Lord Jesus can be saved. They came to him in darkness and they left to walk in light. They came to him in slavery and they left in sonship. They came to him in bondage and they left him in freedom. They came to him leprous and they left him cleansed. They came to him in the power of iniquity and they left him in the righteousness and holiness. They came to him with their burdens. They left him with their blessing. They came to him with all their cares. They left him with comfort. They were brought to him dead, but they left him alive. Death cannot stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every funeral he ever went to, he changed it into a resurrection. He proclaimed so boldly, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again." Do you know the resurrected Lord Jesus, in whom there is life and there is spirit? Praise God. Psalm 65 and 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I'm reminded of a story. Come on, Olivia. I'm reminded of a story of a man who was in very poor condition. The Bible calls him Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. In fact, they attach another little clause there, blind. Blind Bartimaeus. His name wasn't blind. His condition was blind. And people labeled him and identified him with the condition that he had. Blind Bartimaeus. Wow. He was sitting by the road and he was a blind person, and the Bible said the multitude drew near. A multitude. You could hear the roar of the crowd, the rumble bumble of the people walking along with Jesus, who spoke as he walked, for he was ever teaching. And the Bible said, Bartimaeus said, who is that? What's that noise about? And they said, the man whose name is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is on his way. You mean the one that heals lepers? Are you talking to me about the one that took the paraplegic over at the pool at Bethesda and raised him up? Are you talking about the centurion's daughter that he walked over and resurrected her and brought her? Are you talking about the same Jesus that over at the little city of Nain, he stopped a funeral procession and resurrected a dead boy and brought him back? Yes, that's the Jesus. He's on his way. He's coming this way. Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Ooh. Wow. Folks around him say, shh, 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 shut up here. Get over here out of the way. You don't belong in this crowd. Get over here. You can't even see where you're going. Have to be led around. Get over here somewhere. Get out of the way. They reprimanded him for crying out so loudly. And the Bible said, the next verse, and he cried even louder. Brother, you're talking about a determined person. If I can just get to him, if I can get his attention, if he's the one that can do all of that kind of stuff for broken people, if he can heal broken hearts and broken spirits, if he can raise people from the dead, if he can surely do something about my eyes. He cried even louder, Jesus, thou son of David. Had his theology. John is the gospel of Son of God. Sometimes you may not get all your theology right, but you're not saved because you know theology. You're saved because you know the Savior. Because you know the Savior. Because you know the Master. Because you've said to him, take my life. Lord, I surrender to you. And from that moment on, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. And the disciples, no doubt, tried to steer him away from Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was probably seen as a pest. Or a nuisance. Yeah. He kept crying louder every time they tried to shut him up. He just got louder. That's someone who determined, I'd rather have God's touch. I'll endure your insults and I'll endure your sarcasm. I'll endure your critique of me. I'll let you call me blind, Bartimaeus, if I can just get to where Jesus is. If I can just get into his presence, if I can just get his attention, if I can just call out to him until he hears me. Glory to God. And the Bible said, and Jesus said, bring him, bring him. And Bartimaeus said, somebody get me over there where he is. Somebody lead me. Somebody get me there. And when he got in the presence of Jesus, Jesus said, what wouldest thou that I should do unto you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Glory to God. God does some healing instantaneous. He does some healing over time. He does some healing out in the open. He does some healing in secret. He does some healing with a round. As he does other healing in silence. Oh, it doesn't make any difference to me, just so I can get to where he is. Just so I can get his attention. So just so that he moves in my direction and touches me. Anybody here that wants to answer that invitation, come unto me. Come unto me. Bring your burdens. Bring your cares. Bring your heartache. Bring your disappointments. Bring all your hurt. Bring all of your sorrow. Bring all of your grief. Bring all of the weights that weight you down. For Jesus is the great burden bearer. He says, cast your cares upon me. I'll take all of your cares. I'll take all of your problems. I'll take all of the things that trouble your heart. Just shift them over to me. Woo! Just give me your burdens. Stand up all over this house. Glory to God. How many of you would like to leave here unburdened? Unburdened. That thing you carried in here with you off the street today, you can get rid of that thing this morning. That thing that weights you down, that burdens your heart, you can get rid of that this morning. Whatever it is. If it's a spirit, then God can break the fetters. You say some old spirit, yeah, that's what gets around, it tears down altars. Well, that's good that preacher can preach like that, that God answers prayer, but my situation's different. No, it ain't. Yeah, but I can believe that for somebody else. I just can't hardly believe it for me. Well, then you need to come to the realization that Jesus can do it for you. I said, Jesus can do it for you. I said, Jesus can do it for you. Jesus can do it for you. Jesus can do it for you. Glory to God. Had a lady come to an altar service one night. She said, Brother Irwin said, I've got this oppression on me, and said, I'm so downtrodden. And said, I just lost all of my self-esteem, and said, there's a place right on top of my head. It wouldn't burn any worse if you said a live coal. And said, I just don't know what in the world is going on with me. And I said, do you want to be free? She said, more than anything else, I want to be free. We did what the Bible said. The Bible said, is there any sick among you? Is there any oppressed among you? Is there any hurting among you? Is there any persons that need to be freed among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The Lord shall raise him up. Glory to God. You mean God does that, Pastor? God does that? Yes, he does that. God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do for you what no other power can do. Glory to God. Prayed for her, and the power of the Lord touched her. She shouted and rejoiced. I saw her not long ago, and I said, how about things in your life? Everything all right? She said, I've never had that feeling again. Never had that feeling again. Never had that feeling again. Who this morning would say, I hope I never have that feeling again? Brother, if you don't want to have that feeling, Jesus is the answer. I said, Jesus is the answer. I said, Jesus is the answer. Wade H. Horton's wife was laying on a sick bed, and they said she wouldn't make it till morning. Some of the people came by on their way to church by the parsonage over there where they were living, and went in and prayed for her. And the Bible said that one of the ladies said, you men said, get on out of here. Said, we're going to get her bathed and get her ready to go to church. What? She's supposed to be dead before morning. But the church prayed. The church prayed. Things happen when the church prays. Things happen when the church prays. Things happen. Doors swing open when the church prays. Prisons go out of business when the church prays. Miracles take place when the church prays. Glory, glory, glory. God specializes in things thought impossible. My daddy in 1954 come in from preaching one Sunday night up at Jacksonville on West Francis Avenue, Hoyt. Come in, he humped up over that old stove in a gas stove. He humped up over and chilling and free. Wasn't long till his mouth pulled around to the side and his hands drew in like this. He was having a stroke. Well, I bet somebody called 911 pretty quick. I don't think we had 911 back then. My oldest brother said, Daddy, I'm going to call the saints. You ever heard of people called saints? Saints. I'm going to call the saints, he said. When those people came in that parsonage there, they didn't ask, well, what's happened? What's wrong? When they come in the door, Larry, they went straight to my daddy. And brother, you'd have thought a kid had fell in the well. Oh, God, Lord, in Jesus' name, we need your touch. Oh, Heavenly Father, let the Spirit of God come down in this parsonage. Touch our pastor, God, in Jesus' name. I was a 6-year-old kid, first grade. I'm standing as close to my daddy as I am to Lynn. And brother, the power of God come in that little old room, hit my daddy in the top of his head. His hands straightened out just like that. I mean, in one motion, just like that. And my daddy, when he'd shout, he'd go around and around like this right here. That's the way he shouted. He shouted and shouted and shouted and shouted. But he never had another episode with that. Now listen, you don't have to drive anywhere to get that. You don't have to get on a plane, fly to a foreign country to find somebody that's got some super way of it. The Bible said, and the church prayed. And the church prayed. Harvest, we've got to repair some of our altars. I said, Harvest, we've got to repair some of our altars. Amen. And we've got to make prayer a priority. Did you hear what this pastor said? I said, we've got to make prayer a priority. A priority. So when you tell me about something that's wrong, I'm going to ask you probably, have you prayed about it yet? Because if you hadn't prayed about it, the next thing we need to do is pray about it. Amen. Is pray about it. How many of you need a touch from God today? I believe the church can pray, and I believe that you can receive a touch from God before you leave here. Glory to God. I feel God in this house this morning. You feel God here? I feel God in this house. Take the hand of that person beside you. The Bible said, pray one for another. Pray one for another. Pray one for another. Say, I don't know her. I don't know anything about what she's got. You don't need to know. Just ask God to touch her. Just ask God to touch her. Are you ready to pray? Now I want you to pray out loud. Now don't mumble around. Pray. I want you to call on God. God, in Jesus' name, we come before you this morning. And we know that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. And that all the people of the earth shall come unto thee. Oh, Lord, you're the one that raised your hands and said, all ye ends of the earth, come unto me that you might be saved. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, let your hand flow over this congregation. Heal people's bodies, God, right now. God, open doors that have been slammed shut and locked. God, I pray that you would bless and lift for people that have been cast down. I pray, oh God, that you would loose people that have been in bondage. I pray, oh Lord, that people would be released from anxiety and fear and panic attacks and emotional disorders. God, in Jesus' name, your power is greater than their infirmity. Your power is greater than their trouble. Oh, Jesus, would you let the Holy Spirit of God, the healing virtue of Jesus, flow through these altars and walk these aisles and visit these chairs one by one and touch men and touch women and touch boys and touch girls, oh God, so they'll know that they've been with Jesus and been in the presence of God and felt His glory and felt His anointing. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. While I was praying, somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. While I was shouting, somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Blessed, blessed, blessed is the Lamb of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless your name, Jesus. 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 Bless your name, Jesus, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Blessed Jesus, blessed Redeemer. Have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way, God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. If my people call by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And I will forgive their sin. Oh, we bless you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God. We love you, Lord. 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 Could you just clap your hands to the glory of the Lord this morning to say thank you, God. 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 Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. My hand is not shortened that it cannot save, saith the Lord. Amen. My heart is nigh unto the hearts of my people. The day you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me, saith God. For I am meek and I am lowly at heart, and I love my people. You are the sheep of my pasture, and I am your shepherd, saith the Lord. I will shield you, I will bless you, I will lead you. Only be strong and be faithful in the things that have been committed to your care and your keeping. Bless your name, Jesus. Would you bless the Lord with a good hand clap and thank him for the Holy Ghost. I surrender all. Sing that with me and then we'll go. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Praise God. God, in Jesus' name, I lay my hands upon my sister. God, she has a need this morning that only you can help. And I pray, God, that in Jesus' name, your power and your spirit would intervene, and that you would help and touch and bless and make a way. God, would you just put your hand upon this need and put your hand upon this situation and let there be positive things happen, God, as the result of this prayer. Let your grace be sufficient. Let your word be true. And God, in Jesus' name, bring healing and bring blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Could everybody say amen? Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Thank you, God. God, place your hand upon this willing servant. God, touch him. Bless his ministry, God. Touch him and inspire him. Encourage him and strengthen him, Lord. Open doors for him to do what you feel like you've called him to do. touch him and bless him, God, and give him an open door of utterance. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. It just feels good to be here, doesn't it? I love this. I'm very much at home. Steve told me the other day, he said, it's all I've ever known. I want to tell you, we don't need to be like anybody else. We need to be who we are. We're a Pentecostal church. We have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we walk in the Spirit, and we worship in the Spirit. Amen. And that's who we are, and that's what we're going to be. Amen. Bless everybody else, but we're going to be who we are. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Thank you for being here today. I love you with all of my heart. Pray for me and ask God to strengthen your pastor. Amen. God bless you. Go with you the rest of the day. You're dismissed. Go with God and God go with you.